Good morning. Today we will draw our attention to Psalm 40. This is another Psalm of David. It is likely written at a point of deliverance in his life from a significant, weighty trial. This deliverance is one that can only be attributed to God's power and good character. The details of the psalm do not appear to highlight physical ailment or pending attack from David's enemies. It is therefore thought to be an internal struggle, one of deep stress in which David acknowledges that he cannot save himself. I think that we can all relate to David. We either have previously experienced or may be experiencing now a deep stress of some sort. It is also important to note that Psalm 40 is a messianic psalm. It points to Jesus. This will overlap with some of what you learned from Pastor Dan when studying Psalm 22. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Psalm 40. I will read it aloud. Please follow along. For the director of music, of David, a psalm. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. May all who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. Verse 1 can be translated, I waited and waited and waited for the Lord. At last he looked up, he listened. David waited upon the Lord because he had faith that God would come to his aid. His faith was invested in God alone. He knew that no other person, or even his own efforts, could save him from the internal turmoil that he faced. This patient waiting implies that David had to wait a long while. The relief came after an extended period of distress. But David did not doubt. He continued to pray and hope that God would show up. Last year was challenging for me. I hit rock bottom. As many of you already know, I struggled with anxiety, depression, and loneliness. My mind felt unstable, quite fragile. Being the mature Christian that I am, I knew to seek God. Actually, I really wanted to seek God. He was the most reliable friend or companion that I had. He was available any time of day, and he would listen to my repeated prayers without making me feel self-conscious. I was ravenous for the word, so I dug into reading more scripture, listening to sermons online, reading books from Christian authors, and keeping my radio tuned to contemporary Christian music. I returned to journaling and memorizing scripture, put on the full armor of God, as stated in Ephesians chapter 6, was one favorite passage of mine. Claiming evidence of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life was another, which is found in Galatians 5. I certainly felt closer to the Lord, like I was getting to know him better, but the internal turmoil was still there. Wasn't the way to relief from pain clinging to God? I thought I was doing that. Still, the full healing was delayed. In the peak of that testing season, I had to wait on him to show up just a little longer. Verse 2, he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Verse 2 directs us to the pit. The Hebrew word used here, bor, B-O-R, is the same word that means hole, cistern, well, dungeon, grave. The Lord brought up David from this grave, from the clay. He set David's feet upon a rock. I will refer to the definition of another Hebrew word, kun, K-U-N, to be firm, established, steadfast. From the help of the lexical aid in my Bible, I can share that this word signifies a deep satisfaction and sense of well-being, which comes from the certainty that one's heart steadfastly trusts in the Lord, who directs man's paths. Last year, I was filling my life with many really good things, but it was collectively too many good things. The Lord got my attention. He asked me why I was seeking joy and meaning in things and people apart from him. I categorized Good Friday as one of the darkest days of my year. I had planned to attend service here at CBC, but at the last minute, I could not get out the door. Physically, emotionally, I was weak, poured out, spent. I felt the Lord's presence, though, in my home that night. I listened to The Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Myers on audio and practically finished the entire book by the time the sun rose the following day. In that book, Joyce Myers talks about various ways that the devil tries to keep us captive by speaking lies. She gives her audience instruction on how to confront those untruths and guard against the enemy's schemes. Her book is loaded with scripture. Speaking God's truth, using it as ammunition against the evil one, is highly emphasized. Verse 3, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Do you ever find yourself singing a tune out of pure joy for the Lord, out of a deep sense of thanksgiving for what he has done? Maybe you find it easy to come up with an original number of your own, or rather you find comfort in jamming to a well-known artist's latest hit. I acknowledge that I am a singer and a dancer. One benefit of not having roommates is that I feel freedom to turn up the volume on my playlist and sing and dance in the presence of God, totally unashamed. Take a few minutes to pray to God. You can write on the back of your bulletin a short prayer, 2 or 3 sentences long. Start by acknowledging something that you are waiting upon the Lord for. Then give him thanks for being a generous provider. If you are feeling even a little bit of inspiration from David or myself, you can go ahead and consider this an opportunity to draft the opening lyrics for your own new song. Verse 6. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. God wants his people's ears to be open. He wants us to be paying attention, obeying him. The writer acknowledges the spiritual benefit of sacrifice and offering. Obeying God outweighs God's interest in an animal sacrifice given to atone for man's sin or a gift such as grain. Verse 7, then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. This quote in verse 7 shouts of Jesus. In verse 8, the writer and also Jesus say that they delight to walk in alignment with God. There is a parallel between David's and Jesus' waiting upon God. Jesus' distress before he was arrested and crucified can be compared to the miry clay, the pit. It was a soul hurt. As he cried out to the Father, my God, we hear Jesus waiting. This waiting by David, then Jesus, and ourselves, when set upon the Lord, is not misplaced. There is an appropriate confidence that God can hear us and will rescue us. In Hebrews 5:7, it says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. In Romans 4:25, it says that Jesus submitted himself to the will of the Father and paid for our sins by dying and rising to life again. We'll go back to Psalm 40, verse 9. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Righteousness is Christ's justification of us by way of his dying for us. I'll take you back to last year again, when on Good Friday I thought of Jesus and how he felt scared and alone in the Garden of Gethsemane. I thought of how he later hung there on the cross and died. Although I have been a Christian for many years, I don't think that I ever felt that connected to him before. When he suffered on behalf of sinners, us, me, that's something to marvel. Verse 11, do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. David says, God, don't hold out on me. I know I don't have it all together by myself. It is you and your character that sustain me. Remember last week we read Psalm 32. When David had unconfessed sin, his bones wasted away. When he confessed his transgressions to God, he had joy. The act of confession will regularly be required. I know that I felt sin shortly after rising from the pew last Sunday. Verse 13, be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. Jesus suffered and submitted to the Father's will because he knew without a doubt that God had a plan. We've heard the phrase that his timing is perfect. I will paraphrase something author Martin Shannon wrote. Similarly, we must remember that God's timeline is perfect. That means that our period of waiting is meaningful. In my women's Bible study group a while back, I told my friends that I didn't want to have patience anymore. More waiting, it seems like there's always more waiting. Even saying it now, it sounds somewhat childish, but it's true of me. When I can readily see from a different perspective, the waiting is good, it is meaningful, the ache is intended, the pain is pointing to something. Verse 14, May all who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. Our church's Bible reading plan directed us to Psalm 37 this week. Similarly, verses 14 and 15 here read that God brings justice for the righteous and punishment to the wicked or unrepentant. At this point in Psalm 40, we can hear the writer's disposition toward his foes. It illustrates his human tendency. How many of us pray similarly to the writer here? Let my enemies be put to shame and confusion. How many of us rather pray like Jesus did in Luke 23, verse 34, saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Let's take a minute to silently pray for our enemies. You may be thinking that you do not have someone in your midst whom you would consider an enemy, per se. You can therefore consider praying for those who oppose Christianity. Let's pray that they will not dwell in shame, but acknowledge their shortcomings and receive Jesus' mercy and grace. Verse 16, but may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. In the Message translation, verse 17 reads, and me, I'm a mess. I'm nothing and have nothing. Make something of me. You can do it. You've got what it takes, but God, don't put it off. The thought, I am nothing, make something of me. Considering the idea that God's power is made perfect or brought to completion in our weakness means that this must have been part of his plan for mankind. Let's also consider Paul and his second letter to the Corinthians. In chapter 12, Paul references that he had revelations from God, but also a thorn in his flesh for the sake of humility. He pleaded repeatedly for the Lord to remove that trial or pain from him. The Lord's reply is found in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Here we see again that perfection and human weakness are connected. The wonderful link between the two is God's power. Psalm 42, verse 11 says to put our hope in God as opposed to settling into a downcast spirit. Romans 8 reads that nothing can separate us from God's love. No trouble, hardship, persecution or danger, angels or demons, present or future. If we can turn our minds to the consistency of God's love toward us, we can have comfort and be glad. I'm going to ask you now to pray with one or two other people sitting near you. Take a few minutes to express your response to God's word to you this morning. Whatever form this may take, let it be your own expression of praise to him. Lord, as we leave this place soon, I pray that you will remind us of the scriptures referenced today during this upcoming week. I pray that you will remind us of your presence and your power, and that you are all-knowing, and you always have a plan, and you've placed us in trials for a reason. They deepen our trust in you, our faith in you. They give us an opportunity to acknowledge you and remember that you are our Father and you care about us. So I thank you for what you are doing in the CBC. I thank you for each of the individuals here physically today. And I pray that you will just cover all of us. And as we go into the future weeks, I pray that you will remind us of what you've brought us out of and give thanks and have joy for the future and what you have in store. Amen. If you are feeling as though you could never come up with a new song of your own, then start with a familiar tune. What song did you hear in service today that resonated with you? Be encouraged as you wait upon the Lord. He will come to your aid. Have faith because Christ is the rock, your firm foundation, our firm foundation, and he can identify with our human experiences. He therefore knows exactly what we need. I will have the worship team prepare to lead us in our closing song. While they come, let us pray.